Hey.
Going to look here at Genesis 6, and I want you to turn your attention to verse number 8. We'll look at other verses as our thought progresses, but we'll look at verse 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You may be seated. You look at the life of Noah, there is a lot to notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where we have the ones that had great faith that are mentioned. Noah is amongst those that are mentioned by name. Noah, he feared God and prepared an ark, and how he saved his family because of the work that Noah did. You look at Noah's work there. He prepared an ark, and he had a witness. In those verses, it talks about the witness that Noah had, and his wealth was he saved his family, how that God did that. Noah had a warning. The Lord gave him that warning.
Yes, sir.
And we look here at Noah's world that he was in. He lived in a world that the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah. He lived in a world where they were contempt for the things of God. They did not like Noah's righteous preaching.
Right.
He preached what was right. And we live in a world today where righteousness is not really elevated in the least.
Right.
Paul talked about that to Timothy. In the last days, they'll leave and they'll depart from the faith. They'll desire themselves teachers having itching ears. They're not really concerned about the Word of God and the truth and righteousness. You know, we can get a large crowd when we talk about God's love. Get a large crowd when we talk about God's goodness. And all of those things are needful to be preached because He is good and He is loving. But when you begin to preach about righteousness, we find that the crowd begins to thin. And the Lord, it's not the preacher, because the Lord had 70 disciples. And he began to preach doctrine, and they departed. And he was left with 12, and he looked at them and said, "Will you go away also?" And Peter, of course, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" So you find that he lived in a contempt world, and he lived in a corrupt world. They were perverted, and they were depraved, and just an ungodly world. He lived in a cold world. People did not really... they just did what was whatever they wanted to do. Very cold. And he lived in a complacent world. Noah preached righteousness for, it doesn't say 120 years, but it talks about life of man and that God will 120 years. But so we derive from that, that's the length of days that Noah probably preached, 120 years. But regardless, they were complacent. Their complacency is evident by how they lived. The book says that they ate and drank, were married and given in marriage, just complacent. And the book tells us over there, the Lord says that they were having a big time up until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they lived in a very ungodly time, Noah's world. And Noah's warning and Noah's witness, all of these things about Noah. But I want to concentrate on Noah's walk.
Hey.
Noah's walk. And I don't have a clock here in front of me. I feel like a man that went out the house had his hat on. I don't know how to act without knowing the time, knowing it's high time. Amen. So I'm going to do my best not to be lengthy. My stomach's set on Eastern Standard Time. So lunch has already come and passed. So I'm just as desiring to eat as you are. But we'll look at this thought and be done. I want us to look at Noah's walk. As you look at Noah's walk, you find about Noah that there are three things unique about him before we get into that thought. Noah was unique. He was different. The old preacher said, in order to make a difference, you must be different. And that's true. And Noah was different. And Noah, he was the only man that carried the truth. Noah had no contemporaries. He had no preacher's fellowships. He had no camp meetings. He had no one that would amen his preaching. He had no one that responded to his invitation. He had no one that came alongside of him, of course, in the public. He was the only man that carried the truth. He didn't get to go and listen to sermon audio and hear what everybody else is preaching. He didn't get to go and gather thoughts from others that were preaching. He's the only man that carried the truth. And Noah was unique in the fact that he was the only man that was concerned about the future. As I've already alluded to, that no one else was concerned about the future. They were just concerned about today. What's happening today? Where am I? What are we going to do today? But Noah, he had a long look.
Yes, sir.
He looked up beyond. As I teach my children to drive, I tell them you want to look beyond where you're at, beyond the hood there. You want to look as far as you can see. You can't see around the curb, but as it inches around, you're already seeing. That's a cautious. That's a driving defensively. And that's how we ought to live. We ought to live looking in the long look. Look as far as ahead as we can see and realize that the devil is out there and he is walking about and he is seeking and he is devouring. So Noah was concerned about the future. A man that isn't concerned, an individual that doesn't seem to be concerned about the future, then there's something very wrong with them spiritually. And then thirdly, about Noah's uniqueness, he was the only man that consecrated his family. I've already alluded to what the book says in Hebrews, that Noah saved his house. He did what very few men did. His whole house was saved. His wife, his sons and their wives, all of them. He gave them to God in a day in which it wasn't popular. But I want to look at Noah's walk. Three quick things this morning about Noah's walk. I want you to notice, number one, the purpose of his walk. What was the reason behind Noah walking? Why did he walk with God? Can I tell you, number one, he walked with God because he saw the corruption in the world.
That's right.
The Word of God says there in verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth. And God saw. Noah was looking through the lens that God was peering through. And he seen as God was seen. That takes faith. And he saw the corruption in the world. You know, there's two words, God saw. You read them before chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. You read them 6 other times. You read them after every day of creation. You recall that on the first day he finishes, and God saw, and it was good. And he does that every day. It almost is redundant, isn't it? And God saw that it was good. And that's the last time we ever read God seeing anything. And everything that God saw was what God was doing. God was creating. And everything that God saw that he was doing was always good.
Right.
Now, we have just a few chapters that have passed, but hundreds of years have passed. There's a block of scripture and history we're not given anything knowledge about, but we read those words again. And God saw. But now it isn't good, is it?
Right.
It's evil. It isn't good, it's bad. And the difference is man's doing what he wants to do now. Man's following his own way. Man's charting his own course. Man is making his own decisions, and he's not following God, and it never is good. You know, if you live a life without following and walking with the Lord, it'll never be good. Doesn't matter how much money you have, or doesn't matter what kind of career you're building. It's irrelevant what kind of house you live in. None of those things really matter. You must live the life of walking with God. So Noah saw the corruption in the world. You read about it in verse 5. You read about it in verse number 11. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And notice what it says in verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And here it is, for all flesh had corrupted. Notice what it says. All flesh had corrupted his way.
That's right.
There is the contrast. You see the contrast? Noah was walking with God. He was going God's way. But everybody else were going their way. It looked like Noah was going the wrong way. Wouldn't you think? If everybody's going this way, and one man with his wife and three sons were going that way, I'm talking about the masses were going that way, and just one man and his family was going, hey, Noah, you're going the wrong way. You're not going the way you should be going. Look at the numbers. Look at the percentage. Look at the mass. And Noah was saying, no, I'm not going your way, but I'm going God's way. And that's what really matters. The world looks at you and says, that old Bible that you hold, those old traditions that you follow, those old convictions that you have, those stringent regulations and morals, those things, don't you know that this is a different age? That's the way your grandmama was raised, or that's the way the old timers used to do it, but this is a more modern day. You're going the wrong way, and granted, you may be going the wrong way if you're going the way of the world, but if you're going God's way, the odds doesn't matter. The numbers are irrelevant. The masses are not even in the equation. If you're going God's way, you're going the right way. You may not be cool, and you may not be trendy. You may not be well quoted. You may not necessarily be very well liked, but you're going the right way. And he went God's way because he saw the corruption in the world. And then secondly, he heard the call from the Lord. God spoke to Noah. And he spoke to Noah here in the beginning of this chapter. And the Lord said in verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Lord spoke to Noah, and Noah heard the call. He said a few things. He said, number one, he said, Noah, the world is wicked. You need to get out. That's what he says in these verses. He talks about the wickedness of the world. Yes, the world is wicked. And we've already read some of them. We won't go over them again. He talks about the wickedness of the world. He said, Noah, that's a bad place for you to be in. But then he says again to Noah. Notice, that's the first time that he speaks to Noah in verse number 3. The world is wicked. You need to get out. The next time he speaks to Noah is verse number 1 of chapter number 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou in. He not only said the world is wicked, you need to get out, but he said the ark is safe, you need to come in. He doesn't say, Noah, you get in, did he? He said, Noah, you come in. Noah built the ark. I'll be honest with you, it takes a lot of faith for me to get into something that I had built to float in. I'd be laying in the bed wondering if them boys caulk the cracks. I wonder if they plane the boards correctly. I wonder if we got all the pitch in there. But he said, Noah, the ark is safe. Come in. And you know the old teaching. The reason he didn't say go in, because he wasn't on the outside. God was on the inside. And see, what Noah realized, it didn't matter how much the cracks were pitched. It didn't matter how close the boards were jammed together. None of that was irrelevant.
That's right.
If God was inside, it was guaranteed to float.
Amen.
God never got on anything or in anything that was unsuccessful. Everything that God's a part of, if he gets in a bush, it can't burn up.
Right.
If he gets in the fire with you, you won't burn. If you get in a boat, it's going to float. If you're out on the water walking, as they sing about, you're not going to sink.
Right.
Anything that God gets in, it's going to be saved. Can I tell you, this world is wicked, but God and the ark of salvation is saved. If you're floating through this life on your own homemade boat, if you're living your life just the way you think it's okay, if you come into church this morning saying, well, if anyone makes it to heaven, surely I will, or, you know, sooner or later I'm going to address that, can I tell you, you're in the midst of a hurricane, and your boat's going to sink. But I'm glad this morning that our Lord Jesus Christ, he points to the cross, and there is our ark of safety, and he stands at that cross, and he says, come in. Come in, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come in, come in, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. He says, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise come out. The great comes of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many of those comes. And he ends the word of God with that come. He says, ye, the Spirit and the bride say, come. I'm telling you this evening or this morning that you can come into the ark of safety as Noah did. And as you have if you're saved this morning. He listened. He heard the call. And then he looked. The book said Noah found grace. The eyes of the Lord. He looked. You know, the word grace here has never been mentioned in the Word of God until this time. All that's happened, the forgiveness of Adam, the clothes made for he and Eve, the birth of Seth, the shield for Cain, the crying out of the blood of Abel, none of those things ever brought the term or the word grace to the surface. When do we find grace coming on the scene of God's Word? When man was at his worst. When man was at the bottom. When the book says it repented the Lord that he made man. That's when grace comes on this thing. And that's such a character trait of our Lord. It doesn't just start and end here. You find grace coming in every life that's here this morning when we needed him most. When you need him most in the area of salvation, you find the good salvation grace of God coming to wherever you may have been, whether it was in a primary Sunday school class or whether it was out at a home being visited by someone, or maybe it was at the church and God arrested your soul. I'm saying to you this morning that grace comes when we need it most in the area of salvation. But I'm thankful not only when we're saved do we find that wonderful sustaining grace, saving grace, supporting grace, but I'm glad that grace don't just start and end when we're saved, but we get on that train of grace, and I'm telling you this morning that it is a supporting grace. We find it when we need it most. It'll find its way to where you're at. The purpose of his walk. He saw the corruption in the world. He heard the call from the Lord. But then I want you to notice, secondly, the progress in his walk. Not only the purpose of his walk, but the progress in his walk. Can I tell you something about walking? Notice the Lord didn't say that Noah ran with God. Or that Noah sprinted with God. Or that Noah soared with God. It just simply says he walked with God. Walking with God is not a fast progression. You know, some people walk slow. Some people walk fast, but it's a steadiness. That's what he's implying. He's just consistent. He's just there. Like Spurgeon said, it was consistency that got the snail into the ark. Just that day after day routine. And he believed God. Noah never build a boat. Noah never saw it rain. Noah never experienced a flood. Noah never gathered all these animals. I said Noah was the first redneck. He had a boat in his yard and a yard full of animals. And there he was, whistling for dogs, meowing for the cats, patting his leg for the horses, and calling the hogs. It took faith just to believe God. I mean, he just had to put his faith and trust in the Lord. Now, I know there's some, if you've been to the different places that teach about the ark, say that Noah recruited help of others around to help him build that ark. That sounds good if you're trying to logically put it together. And I'm not going to dispute it, but I can't defend it.
Right.
And I can't preach it.
Right.
All I know is the book says that Noah built the ark.
That's right.
And I tell you, it takes a lot of faith just to get out your hammer and get out your saw and begin to haul the wood and begin to plane the boards and begin to align and measure out all of the dimensions that God had given Noah. But he began at the bottom and he just kept working till he got to the top. He began with a plan, and he kept going until it was visual. I'm saying it's progressive. I don't like progressives.
Right. Go ahead.
You know these progressive. I'm sure they're offended by all that's going on in recent days. But I don't. I'm more of a conservative, if you will.
Sure.
I believe that's. Well, I don't want to get off on all that, but nonetheless. But Christians are progressive. We are progressives. If you're not a Christian that's progressing, then you're not living like you should be living. If you're just as faithful to God as you've always been and not more faithful, then you're stagnant. We're stale. We're to go forward. Noah's life went forward. He went forward, and we see a progress in his walk. My dear friend, if you are a young person here today and are saved, then you should be progressing in your walk with the Lord. If you're middle-aged and been saved, you should be progressing in the walk with the Lord. If you have some years behind you and are saved, you should be progressing in your walk with the Lord. Noah walked with God. He didn't sit with God. He didn't stand with God. He didn't lean and talk to God, but he walked with God. He walked day after day. When others were sitting, Noah was walking. When others were sleeping, Noah was walking. When others were going back, Noah was going forward. There was progress in his walk. We should desire to have that progress. We see Noah's purpose of his walk. We see the progress in his walk. But I want you to notice thirdly, the path from his walk. You know, there's something about walking. It makes a trail. You know the old saying? The old saying is we have now 3 bedrooms and a bath, and when we used to have 1 room and a path. And that's because that path was well traveled.
Right.
Noah gave us a path. And can I tell you, there's a lot of signs on Noah's path that we could preach on. But I just want to talk to you about 2 things that Noah shows us about walking with God. Number one, Noah shows us this: God always keeps his promises. And you look at the path of Noah, you have to say that there is a God that honored his word. I'm sure Noah got discouraged. I mean, I feel confident that Noah faced ridicule. I would feel confident that Noah got weary. I mean, for a long time, Noah's building a boat. And I would imagine that people would come around and hear Noah preach and shake their heads. They probably would say, "What a disappointment. I can't believe he's living that way after his mom and daddy raised him so good." Maybe some of the friends of his wife would say, "Boy, she messed up." She should have married old Joe down the road. Look at him. He's got a nice business over there, and he got a nice family and a nice home, and she wound up marrying this lunatic. And he's talking about some flood or building some boat. Who would ever do something like that? But Noah just kept sawing. Noah just kept hammering. And Noah just kept planing. And Noah just kept pitching. And Noah just kept building. Believing God. Believing God. Hey, dear friend, not seeing any results.
Right.
Not seeing any results at all. God didn't give him a little mini flood. Say, now after this, you're going to see something bigger.
Go ahead.
I mean, but Noah just kept doing it.
Hey.
And when it was all said and done, when Noah got off of that boat, he could look back and say, God always keeps his promises. Now, I don't know, my dear friend, what you're going through today. But can I tell you this morning, we serve a God that always keeps his promises. If he's promised that he'll lift the burden of sin, then he'll lift your burden of sin.
Right.
He just won't do it for the preacher. He just won't do it for the sister over here and the family back there. If you are lost without God, if you are heading to hell, if you are weighed with the burden of sin, can I tell you, you see these young people singing with a smile, and you see people coming down to the altar to get help. Can I tell you, they're not in a private club that only so many can get in. Can I tell you, it's for you. That promise is, oh, ye that are weary. Hey, I'm saying to you this morning that God keeps his promises. Maybe you get weary in walking. Maybe you get discouraged in serving. I tell you, we have a God, as the preacher already said, that's given us thousands of promises. And he keeps them. But I like to say it this way. I'm not concerned about me holding the promise. I'm glad when the promise holds me. Amen. You know, Moody said for years he went down to the river with his bucket. He said, but it was a happy day when the river carried me. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad that I don't have to hold on to God's promises, but God's promises is what's holding me. I didn't come here today hoping. I come in there today believing. You see the difference? Hoping is when you're carrying the promise. And believing is when the promise is carrying you. That's what got Abraham on top of the mountain. Abraham didn't say, me and the lad are going yonder to worship and hopefully we're both going to come back. That's him carrying the promise. But when Abraham's saying, me and the lad are going yonder and worship and we're going to return, that's the promise carrying him. When Abraham looked at Isaac and Isaac said, Daddy, you have the fire and you have the wood. Where is the sacrifice? Abraham didn't say, I tell you what, son, we get up there and we're going to find this one. That's Abraham carrying the promise. But when Abraham said, son, here's the wood and here's the fire. And Abraham said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. That's the promise carrying him. Oh, it's a whole lot easier when the promise carries you. Abraham showed us, Noah showed us that God always keeps his promise. But let me finish by saying another thing on the path of Noah is not only God always keeps his promises, but it's this. Walking with God may be lonely, but it's always rewarding. Walking with God may be lonely, but it's always rewarding. I'd say Noah was lonely, laying in the bed that night beside his wife, thinking in his mind what he had faced for that day of ridicule. Maybe in his mind he thought, am I leading my family in the right direction? But he just believed God. I tell you, Noah's boys, listen to me, young people, Noah's boys never got invited to the parties. They were too busy working on the boat. Noah and his wife were never invited to the next door neighbor's cookout because that man, all he does is preach. We don't want to hear that. I mean, if we're going to be merry and have a good time, we don't want to have that being barked in our ears. Best just leave him alone. Noah was lonely. Oh, I tell you, it was lonely herding those animals in. It was lonely being the only family on the street talking about a flood. But one day, God told Noah and his family to come in the ark. And God shut the door and gave no one the key. And when that door shut, the book says that God shut them in. And God sustained them. And they began to hear the rain fall. And they began to hear the thunder roll. And they began to see the floods as they began to rise. And all those disbelievers, all of a sudden, when the bottoms opened up, they cried for help. But Noah could not open that door. Noah could not let them in. God raised that boat and it floated for days and months. Then the waters receded. And the dove finally didn't come back. God opened the door. Noah got out that boat that day. They began to walk around. I wonder if they saw the skeletal remains over there. And saw the skeletal remains over here and thought, I wonder if that's the one that used to laugh at Daddy when he would preach. If that's the one that used to make fun of Mama when she'd go down to the market to buy her goods. In their heart, they may have said this, Dad, it was lonely. Mom, it was a challenge. And Noah, it was sometime disheartening. But we're glad one day when God came by and stuck out his hand and said, you want to walk with me? That you grabbed a hold of the hand of God and you began to walk with God. Because now when it's all said and done, we're the ones standing. They're the ones going. And it's not because of Daddy's engineering ability. It's not because of his great mind. It's just simply that he walked with God. It didn't matter if Noah was educated or uneducated. It didn't matter if Noah was wealthy or poor. It didn't matter if Noah lived on that side of the tracks or this side of the track. It didn't matter if Noah was red, yellow, black, and white. All that mattered was that Noah walked with God. And I'm going to tell you, my dear friend, nothing in this life matters other than you walking with God. You don't have to be wealthy or poor, beautiful or not so beautiful, have to be influential or uninfluential. You don't have to be healthy or unhealthy. You don't have to have a good past or a bad past. All that matters is, are you walking with God? That's what matters. What matters? Matters. I like the old song. It goes this way. Once for my poor sin-sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. When the stars are backward rolled and his home I shall behold, I will walk those streets of gold, hand in hand with Jesus. The chorus goes, hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way, walking thus I cannot stray, hand in hand with Jesus. I'm asking you this morning, do you have the testimony that Noah had, that he walked with God? Young people down at the schoolhouse, do people know you as one that walks with God? Sir, at the workplace, do they know you as the one that walks with God? Lady, how about you? Do your children know you as a mother that walks with God? How about us, church, this morning? Do others know us as one that walks with God? God help me. God help you. God help us to be noted as one that walks with God. Because this, and I conclude, this is one truth, that when you walk with God, you're going in the right direction. When you walk with God, you're going somewhere important. When you walk with God, you're going to make it to where he's heading. Walking with God. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? We're going to have an invitation. A moment we're going to stand, sing, and do whatever you normally do. But if you're here today, you say, preacher, if I die today, I cannot tell you for sure my sins are forgiven. You talking about this walking with God? I thought about it, but I've never really put my faith and trust in the Lord. Can I invite you in a moment when we stand to come? Someone will show you from God's Word how you can know for sure your sins are forgiven. How you can know for sure that He'll take you as a child of His and you can be a saved individual. Dear Christian, maybe you need to come today. You've been walking, but you've not been walking with God. Or there was a time you were walking with God, but you kind of got off the trail. You need to talk to the Lord about it. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. You know the needs of every heart, and we pray You'd speak. We pray our hearts would be turned to Thee. Save that one that's here that's lost. Help Your people, we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I